All right, if you take your Bibles and go with me to 2 Kings chapter number 4, please. 2 Kings chapter number 4. We're going to continue our series on thriving in the midst of chaos. And tonight, the chaos that takes place in our text is a financial crisis. And so we're going to look at this text. Man, this is a wonderful passage. It just teaches us how God can take little and turn it into much and can do some wonderful things. And so if you don't get glorified or excited about the preaching, at least get glorified and excited about the message that's in this text and the Word of God. Because I'm telling you, it's really good stuff. And so let's get on it. Here we go. Verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed, or it just means there that the oil quit pouring. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. I think most of us in here are familiar with Dave Ramsey. How many people know Dave Ramsey? I listen to his podcast at least 3 or 4 times a week, and I've heard him tell his story probably hundreds of times. But if you're familiar with him, you know his story, that when he was 20-something years old, he set out to be a multimillionaire. And in his early 20s, he accomplished that deed. He was a millionaire in his 20s. But the problem is that he had leveraged himself or became indebted to the hilt. Now, according to his story, he was paying all of his bills. He wasn't behind on any of his loans, but a bank officer looked at all of his loans and thought, hey, we have loaned a 20-something-year-old millions of dollars, and we better call in those loans. And so they started calling in his loans. Well, he was over-leveraged. He didn't have the money to pay those loans. And so over the course of about a year, he began to lose everything that he had built up. And he was down to nothing, and by the end of that second year, he had to file for bankruptcy. I've never been in that position. But I know people all over America today get in that position from time to time. They overspend, and they get into debt, and they can't pay their bills, or maybe something happens in their life, and they don't know what to do, and they're at a loss for what to do. But out of that bankruptcy, God began to do something. It was during that time that Dave Ramsey kind of turned to the Lord. He got saved, and he started reading his Bible, and he started getting into the book of Proverbs, and he just wanted to see what God's idea was about how to handle money, how God wanted us to handle money. And so he began to develop principles, and out of that, he has developed this system that has, I think, 40 million radio listeners every week, and it's all over the world, and people are applying biblical principles that he teaches to their finances, and they're getting out of debt and they are prospering. It was just a couple of months ago that I was listening to his podcast. There was a lady that called in, and she was in her late 30s. Her husband had just died. She had 2 kids at home. The husband left a little bit of life insurance, and they were able to pay some of the bills, and she was able to go get a job and help pay those, but she couldn't pay her house payment, and her house was in foreclosure. She's calling in, and she's never handled the money. The husband had handled the money, and she just didn't know what to do. She didn't know where to turn. She was at a loss for what to do, and thankfully, he was able to help her, and she was able to keep her house. But what would happen to you tonight if you had a major financial crisis in your life? Maybe it would be a loss of a loved one. Maybe you would get sick. Maybe you would lose your job. What would you do? Who would you turn to if those situations were to come into your life? Bankrate is a website. And I was reading a statistic this week that ought to cause us to stop and think. And here is a statistic. 44% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. And 44% of Americans, if they had an emergency of $1,000, they do not have enough money in a checking account or a savings account to pay that debt. Now, you know it as well as I know, an emergency of $1,000 is really a minor emergency anymore. A refrigerator will cost over $1,000. You put a set of tires on your car and you get a good set of tires on your car, that's going to be right at $1,000 or over $1,000. I put a set of tires on my pickup here about a year ago. It's $1,400 for just a set of tires. What if you have a medical emergency? What are you going to do when a financial crisis comes into your life? Well, in our text, that is exactly what has taken place. There's a financial crisis that has taken place. And I want to give you five things about this text. And the first one is that life happens to all of us. Look in verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says. And there was a cry of a woman, of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, thy husband is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be a bondman." Now I want you to notice something about this text. This man was a servant of the Lord. He was a prophet. He was a preacher. He was someone that told others about the Lord. He was someone that studied the Bible and applied the Bible to his life. He was faithfully serving the Lord, but yet the Bible tells us that he died suddenly. And I think as you read the text, you come to the conclusion that he was probably a young man because he still had two children at home. They wasn't expecting him to die. They wasn't expecting him to not be able to bring money into the house, but him as a Christian, he died and he had gone out and he had borrowed money. I don't think that he had frivolously borrowed that money. Matter of fact, I think he had borrowed that money just to make a living because I believe that they were having a hard time making a living, but when he died, the income dried up. If you know anything about that day and time, women had a very difficult time of making money and being able to pay off bills. And so they're a young family. The husband has died. They owe all this money. And now the creditor is coming to the house and saying, "You know what, hey, I want my money. Can I tell you something? When you borrow money, those that you borrow it from, they don't care about what you go through in life. All they want is their money." Amen. I'm going to help you if you let me. That's why you got to be careful. I'm not one of those that says you never can borrow any money, but I am going to tell you, especially young people, listen to me. It's important that you be careful, that you don't, especially as men, that you don't get great indebtedness to your family. So if something happens to you, that they are not left holding the bag, because that is what is taking place here. You've got a widow lady that has the responsibility of two sons, and she owes all of this money, and the creditor has come and says, "Hey, I'm going to take your two sons, and I'm going to enslave them to pay off the bill until I get my money." Can I tell you tonight, life happens to all of us. There's this ideal that, boy, if I serve the Lord, man, if I'm in church and if I'm tithing and if I'm reading my Bible, then nothing bad is going to happen to me. Everything's going to be rosy. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. But you haven't read your Bible. There's not a more righteous person outside of the Lord Jesus Christ than the Apostle Paul, is there? But you read in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 8, and here's what Paul says, "I've suffered the loss of all things. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, and 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, the Apostle Paul talks about all of the difficulties that he went through in life. He says, you know what, I was shipwrecked, and I was beat with rods, and I was stoned, and I was cast out of the cities, and I suffered this, and I suffered that. Hey, there's not a more righteous person outside of the Lord Jesus Christ than the Apostle Paul, and he went through some very dark days in his life. Can I just say to you tonight that life happens to all of us? You go back to Genesis chapter number 3, and in the garden when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of good and knowledge, we know that God cursed the ground, and he says, you know what, you're going to deliver babies, and it's going to be much travail, and there's going to be pain, and there's going to be difficulties, and the ground is going to be cursed, and you're going to have to work hard all of your life by the sweat of your brow. And ever since then, life sometimes can be hard, and it can be difficult, and it affects everybody. Life happens to all of us. If we had time tonight, we could go around this auditorium. And if you've lived any length of time, you could stand up and say, you know what? There was a time when I was serving the Lord and I was living for the Lord, but still something happened in my life. Something unexpected happened in my life. Something that I wasn't looking for. There was dark days that came into my life. Life happens to all of us. The years that I pastored, I would constantly make this statement: if the rug has never been pulled out from under you, you wait a little while, because you're not going to get out of life without the rug being pulled out from under you. I was 40 years old before it happened to me. I was serving the Lord. I was pastoring a growing, dynamic church. People were being saved. People were going to Bible college. We had 11 kids in Bible college at one time. And I'm telling you, God was doing it. And all of a sudden, life happened. And it changed my life radically. This lady got up one morning. She wasn't expecting that she would get the news that her husband was going to be gone. She wasn't expecting that, hey, I'm not going to have enough money to pay the creditor, and the creditor is going to come ordering his money. Hey, she wasn't expecting it, but I want you to know life happened to her. And in this text, I want you to realize tonight that life sometimes happens to all of us. But I want you to notice the second thing is that she sought a solution. Look in verse number 2. In verse number 2, the Bible says, and Elisha said unto her, she has gone to the prophet, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Now, in our King James Version, it seems as though he's asking a question. What do you want me to do? But when you study that text, here is really what Elisha is saying. I don't have any money to help you. I don't have any resources to pay for the creditors that has come to get your money. What do you want me to do? And then Elisha goes on and he says this, what do you have in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Now when you read that, I don't know about you, but I imagine a big old pot, don't you? A pot is a pot. But here is the rendering of it. It's not really a pot. It's a flask. It's a small flask. And theologians that know all of this say that there's just enough oil in this flask to anoint one person. There's just enough oil to kind of dab it on the end of your finger in this small flask to anoint somebody. It was very small. It was something that basically had no value to it. She says, hey, the only thing that I have is this little bit of anointing oil. But you go on to verse number 3, and here's what Elisha says. Then he said, go borrow unto thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door unto thee and unto thy sons, and shalt pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and she shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. A couple of weeks ago, I talked to you about God asking you to do things that doesn't make sense. Sometimes God asks us to do some things that we just think, what's it going to help? And here Elisha, the man of God, she's come seeking an answer. And Elisha says, what do you have? And she says, I've got this little bit of oil. And then he says something that doesn't make any sense. Go get a whole bunch of vessels. Man, go find all the pots that you can find. Go to your neighbors and knock on the door and say, hey, do you have any empty pots? I want to borrow those pots. And maybe they would bring out two or three. And go to the next neighbor and say, hey, man, do you have any empty pots? And maybe they would give them three or four more. And go all around the neighborhood. Go to everybody that you can find and get as many pots as you can find. You know what God is going to do? He's going to test her faith. Because you know what? Sometimes when we get in a tight, God just wants to see if we will trust Him. What would you do? If all you had was a little bit of oil and the prophet said, go find a bunch of pots, wouldn't you think, what's the use? But little is much when God is in it. Amen. Can I tell you that her blessing was going to be dependent upon how much faith she had. If she had just a little bit of faith, and if she had just a little bit of trust in God, and if she just went out maybe and got one or two pots because she thought, man, there's no way that this could help. If she would have just got one or two pots, she would have had a small blessing. But she said, boys, go to every neighbor. Don't leave a house unknocked on. You knock on every door, and I want you to find as many pots as you can get, and I want you to bring every one of them. Why? Because she had large faith. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians that if we sow sparingly, we shall reap what? But if we sow bountifully, we shall reap bountifully. She had bountiful faith. Because I just see these boys. Can you picture this? I just see these boys bringing in all these pots. And I don't know how many, but perhaps they had 50 to 60. Maybe they had 100 pots. And then Elisha said, I want you to go into the house and that little flask that you have that's just got a little bit of oil. I want you to get over that pot and I want you to start pouring. What good's that going to do? Little is much when God's in it. I don't know if she was confident about it, but all I know is she got that flask. She got over that first pot and she started pouring. And guess what? The oil started pouring out of that flask. And it wasn't long till that pot that she was pouring it into was half full. And it wasn't long till it was full. And she called one of the boys, hey, come over here and get this pot and bring me another empty one. And she just kept pouring into that empty pot. And then that second one, it just began to fill up. And then perhaps them boys, maybe they found one of those big old pots, maybe 5 or 10 gallon pot, and they brought it in there and they placed it down there, and she's pouring this out of this little flask, and that oil just keeps coming and coming and coming out of that flask, and then it fills up that big pot, and then they bring another pot and another pot and another pot and another pot and another pot, and the oil is just flowing, and she's just in amazement, and I think she's probably saying praise the Lord and hallelujah, and she's thinking about the miracle that is taking place. But I want you to notice what the Bible says, that when the last pot was full, guess what happened? The oil quit flowing. That's just an accident, isn't it? I mean, she's pouring all these pots, and then when the last one is full, the Bible says the oil quit flowing. Can I tell you, that's what God does. He started the oil. Guess why? He cut the oil off when it was done. And she got to see a miracle. Have you ever seen a miracle in your life? Has God ever done a miracle in your life? Can I tell you, you are sitting in a miracle. When you come to the Bible Baptist Church on Sunday and Wednesday and you drive by here at the end of the week, can I tell you, it's a miracle what you see. 26 years ago, how long have you been here? 26 years ago. Now, I don't know all these little details. I may be a little sketchy on some of these details, but I listen. When Brother Chris came 26 years ago, the church had huge indebtedness. Is that correct? Amen. Had few people to pay that indebtedness. Amen. And you know what? He could have cried, "Oh, woe is me. I've taken this church down here and look at all this money they owe." But you know what? He didn't do that. You know what he did? He started looking around and see what God had blessed us with and what they had to work with and what God was going to use. And they started busy. They got busy and they started working and they started cleaning the place up and they started planting grass, as he told us the other day, and watering the grass, and grass started growing and God started blessing. People started getting saved and they had that old horse trough. Y'all remember they had that old horse trough be baptized in? Baptizing people in a horse trough and God started blessing. I don't know at what time they paid off all that indebtedness, but I know they did, and they started building that fellowship hall over there. I'm just telling you, God started blessing. He started pouring the oil out of the flask. And it wasn't long that place over there was full. God put it upon Brother Chris's heart. Hey, man, we need a beautiful building. We need an auditorium. They started figuring out how they're going to build this. And I tell you what, I sure am glad that I wasn't here when y'all went to Lubbock and cleaned all those bricks off and put them on this building. But you know what? God bless that. Look at all of this. It's God pouring out of the flask. It's saying, hey, if you'll just trust me, if you'll just go get some big old pots and use what you have and use what I've given you, I'm going to do a miracle. I'm going to do something in your life. And old Brother Chris got that flask and he just started pouring out. And man, you got all of that done. You got all of that done. You got all of this done. And it's paid for. Amen. We redid all the mercery back there and everything. And guess what? We did that with cash. Amen. You know what that is? Pouring out of the flask. We redid this auditorium, what, 6 or 7 years ago? Moved in here? No, redid it. Oh, yeah. We've already redid it. That was a few dollars. We paid for all that, right? That's what? God pouring out of the flask. Redid the fellowship hall here a couple of years ago. We paid for all that, haven't we? You know what that is? That's God pouring out of the flask. My lawn equipment got stolen here a few weeks ago. I hated to walk in there and tell Brother Jerry, I got to go buy a new blower, $400 blower. I don't want one of those $100 things. I want a big one. Boom! $200-something weed eater. I don't want one of those little, I want one that's got some power. Vroom. And a brand new push mower. Now, they didn't steal the riding lawnmowers, thank goodness. But you know what Jerry was able to say? Go buy some. You know what that is? That's taking the flask and pouring it out, and God provide. You know why? Because we got a leader that says we can trust God. We can trust God. We didn't learn that trust here with all of this. You know where we learned it? Way back over there. When just the end of that building over there, there was just a few people and there was a huge indebtedness. And God said, you know what? Just trust me. Just get to work, get busy, start serving me, use what you have, use what I've given to you, and if you will do that, you can just pour it out. I experienced that in the years that I was in Coleman. Man, I just got to work. Church never had much money, but I just trusted God, and you know what? I'd get that old flask, and I'd start pouring, and God would start blessing. Can I tell you, he'll do that in your life? There's not many times that God says, I just want you to pray and do nothing and wait. There are some of those times. But you know what? Most of the time when we have chaos in our life, especially financial crisis in our life, we pray. And then we use what God has given us. Boy, we get busy and we start working, and then we watch Him bless us. I tell my Sunday school class all the time, I'm a blessed dude. I am. I've never made tons of money in my life. But you know what? There's only been one time in my life that I got to where I didn't have anything. And that was God saying, hey, you gonna trust me? You know what I did? I took it to the Lord. And I said, God, you know where I'm at financially? And then I got to work, and He started blessing it. Isn't it amazing those that work have money? And those that don't work don't have no money. It's because if you'll do your part, get to work and just trust Him, He'll bless you. He'll bless you. He'll bless you. He'll bless you. She got to see a miracle. And my friends, if you haven't had a miracle in your life, just start trusting God. And I promise you, if you will watch, He will do what only He can do in your life. You get to the last verse, verse number 7. And after she filled up all those pots, Elisha came in and said, hey, I want you to take all those pots and I want you to go and sell, and I want you to pay off the creditors. I bet you she was excited about that, wasn't she? She got those boys and said, hey, man, let's go out here. We've got to sell all these pots. And they go out there and they make enough money that they can pay off their creditors, and now her sons are not going to have to go into slavery. But you know what John 10:10 says? I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more, what? Abundantly. You see, that's what Jesus does here. Because He doesn't give her just enough to pay off the creditors. He gives her enough that when they sell all of that, that she has enough money for her and her boys to live for the rest of her days. Isn't God good? He doesn't give her just enough. He gives her abundantly. He gives her more than she asks. I don't know where you're at in your life. I know most of us tonight are probably pretty good shape financially. Our financial hardships are behind us. But there might be someone here tonight, and maybe life financially is tough on you. Can I tell you the first place to start? It's to the Lord. God, give me a solution. And then when God puts it on your heart, the direction that He wants you to do, then get busy, start working, and then watch Him bless. And you know what? He'll do it. And you can come to the end and say, man, God did a miracle in my life. Lord, we love You tonight. And God, I know that there are folks all over this auditorium that could stand up and say, boy, I got short one time. And I went to the Lord and I sought the Lord, and I called upon the Lord, and He answered my cry, and He gave me a direction, and I got busy and I started working, and boy, He just started blessing. And there was a time that it was tough, but I kept working and God kept blessing, and now I have more than I ever dreamed I'd have. God, my desire tonight is if there's some that are here tonight and maybe they need a miracle in their life, a financial miracle in their life, the place to start is at the feet of Jesus. And God, You love us enough to do the same for us as You did for this widow woman in this text. You care for us. You desire to do a great work in our life. God, tonight I pray that we'd draw close to You. I pray that You'd have Your will and Your way in our invitation tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please? With heads bowed and eyes closed, Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to you tonight, you come.